Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're in part six of a piece of literature that the Lord gave me to write a few years back, entitled, Here I Am. Here I Am, send me, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll be reading some scriptures, and we have two or three letters here. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord. And I always want to ask you, Father God, to take this service over. If you don't say the words in this service, then I don't want to say anything, Father, because the world is very close to the end, and the people are in desperate need of your salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our soon-coming King. And I pray, Lord, that you do the talking through your word, through me, and through give me the words to say, the commentaries, and also anoint the letters. Anoint those that are going to be reading, because I'm legally blind and I write, but I am not that quick at reading things, and so therefore I ask that you anoint the readers. We have, I think, two readers today. And, Lord, that you anoint Here I Am, Part 6, and any Bible reading that we do, that the world will open their ears, Lord, the people in the world, so they can tell what kind of Christians they are, or how they qualify to be either in the kingdom of heaven, or if they qualify to be in the pit of hell, the lake of fire. Because there's only two places where we can go after death. And we see people dying like flies all around us. People that we know, loved ones, have gone on to be with the Lord. And Lord, open every ear, every eye to see the truth, which is you. And we cannot see you, Lord, unless we die out to ourselves. Because Satan is selfish and you are a giving God. And we pray that you'll give the world and the word, your word, the gospel, the good news, the good seed, that they may be, and let it be sown in all the four different kinds of people that we're going to be talking about, that you've led me to speak of. On this tape, and that you'll let the church receive. It's been a long time, Lord, that the body of Christ has received your word. So many of them are lukewarm, and so many of them are beginning to yield to the words of the world government, the Antichrist cult, its leader, and the media. We pray, Lord, that you'll cause them to hear you rather than them, that their souls might be saved. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so where's the first letter from?
From Corcoran, California.
All right, let's hear it.
Dear Brother Alamo, I pray the Lord is blessing you and continues to prosper your ministry. I am writing because I need a Bible, please, and more newsletters to use as tools to witness and start 2006 out on the right foot, because you tell it like it is without sugarcoating the truth. And I know it, because ever since I started sharing your newsletters and the word with people, the devil has really been trying to get me. I used to be a Muslim and in a gang, but I gave it up for Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Brother Tony, ever since I accepted Christ and chased the evil spirits out, he has tried to come back with friends just like Jesus said the evil spirits would. But you have encouraged me to stand fast in my faith and live righteously for God. So I really thank you. God bless you, brother. Yours in Christ, Noel from Corcoran, California.
Praise the Lord. I just pray that I'm thankful to the Lord. So many people are saying that the fear of the Lord is just not really fear. But believe me, if you really have an encounter, when you have an encounter with the Lord, you're going to fear Him, because He is He's a fearful God. And He wants us to fear Him. He said, we will not serve Him unless we fear Him. If people just go on and think that God is just all love, there's no one going to serve Him, because it's just impossible. The Lord said that Himself to Moses. I'm causing these people to fear me. Thunder, lightning, an earthquake here at the mount trembled severely. The blast of trumpets and smoke and fire came out, and they all fell on their faces and prayed that Moses would do the talking to the Lord, and that just tell us what God said, but don't let Him talk to us anymore, because we fear Him, to hear Him. He's so fearful. And, you know, people that want to make up their own little Bible, which is nothing more than fairy tales, you're going to be sadly disappointed at the judgment bar of God, because you're going to find out that the Bible, the way it's written, and I'm talking about the King James Version and the original Hebrew and Aramaic and Hellenic Greek, that these are all true. These modern Bibles, I've read a lot of the study Bibles, and they're so false that it's unbelievable. They say that it's impossible to fall away from the Lord, when it's impossible for me to just even like anybody like that. The Bible says that we're supposed to love the Lord and hate Satan. Anybody that can love Satan is not of the Lord, because the Lord says, hate Satan. Hate Satan. And that doesn't mean to kill people that are possessed by Satan, but it means for us to witness and testify to him. All right, now, where's the next letter from?
From Accra, Ghana, Africa.
All right.
Hi, Pastor. I'm a member of the Power of Christ Youth Ministry, and I had your email when I was on my way to church from a young boy about 18 years of age. And in fact, when I saw Ghana in the book, I was very shocked, because I don't even think Africa is a country to you in a way that some of the whites see us, like animals. But thank God you are not like those people. God richly bless you. I need some Bibles for my children in the youth. Hoping you will. Signs, Mr. Prince from Accra, Ghana, Africa.
Well, we have large work in Africa. We have hundreds of churches there, and in India. We have many churches in the Philippines, and in the United States we have many distributors, which are churches. They're the Lord's churches. They're, you know, we ourselves are the church. We are the temple of God. God is not going to have men build a temple with hands that Satan can sit down in these last days, or the Antichrist can sit down in. The Antichrist, the spirit of Satan that is in the Antichrist, and every member of the Antichrist body, is entering and has been entering into the born-again Christians. They have fallen away to the point of where we know that it is the end time. The Apostle Paul said that the Lord will not come back until we see first a great falling away of the church, is what it is. And these false prophets are saying it's impossible to fall away. And yet, where would the sign be of the great falling away if it's impossible for Christians to fall away and allow Satan to enter the temple of God? There's no man-made temple of God anymore. We. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that you're not your own? And the Bible tells us that when we are born of the Spirit and water, that we are the temple of God, and that He, the full Godhead, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus with His Father by the Spirit, enters us, and we become new creatures. We become capable of keeping all of God's commandments, and we are also capable of communicating with the Lord and He with us. and we have perfect guidance in a relationship and are very satisfied and at peace, because we know that in this troublesome world, if the word, if the spirit, or if the some terrorist group blows us up or kills us, and that is highly improbable if we follow the spirit's leading, because he will in many cases, in most cases, if we stay in tune with the Lord, tell us when to leave an area that they're going to bomb. But if you don't have this guidance, you're always at wits end, and you don't have the peace of the Lord. But anyway, the Lord says, when this happens, when we, the Bible says that the whole world is deceived, that means that most of the people that are, it doesn't say that the Christians are, because we're not of the world. It says the whole entire world, those that are without Christ, those that are not born again of the Spirit, washed in the blood, and baptized in water, that they, those that are not saved, are deceived. And so that's why the Lord sends his people, his vessels, those that he can speak to and speak through to you, to bring the message of salvation, the good news, the seed of God into your heart, and that your souls might be saved. The Bible says that faith is the most important thing in this world, because by faith we're saved, and by faith we're healed, and by faith we receive all things from the Lord. There isn't anything that we can receive from the Lord without faith, and that's why Satan is doing everything in his power to destroy people's faith in even the name of God, in the name of Christ, in the Word of God. And this, you know, many people that are not yet saved, they're living in darkness, they're dead in their sins and trespasses, and the Bible says that they know nothing. They don't know anything that's of any value. They don't know anything that's capable of causing their souls to get into the kingdom of heaven and totally escape hell in the lake of fire. So the thing for you to do is listen closely to these broadcasts and pick up your Bible, because faith, the most important thing again, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, because the Word of God is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was in the beginning of everything was the Word. There was nothing that was created that was not created by the Word. And the Bible says that the Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. This is the very first of the Gospel of John. I would say in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word is, and was, and still is God. And then later on in the chapter, the first chapter, John, it says that the Word became a man, because, you know, the Bible states that there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. Then the Bible goes on to tell us that God is the Spirit, and the Spirit doesn't have blood, and therefore God must have had, and did, in fact, become a man, so that he had genuine blood, human blood, that was sinless, that he never sinned, even though his blood was the same of ours. So we have a different pastors that are preaching that his blood was different than ours and his flesh was different than ours. These people that preach such things are really in danger of leading millions and millions of people astray, because we would have a tendency to believe if Jesus' flesh and blood was different than ours, that, of course, he made it, and then no one is perfect, and there's no way that we could make it. But the thing that makes us perfect is not our flesh, but when the Spirit of God, the Almighty God, enters into us, as it was in the human being Jesus, well, then we have the power to be perfect. And when they say no one is perfect, that makes me know that they don't know the Lord. And that means that they're just copying out that they're sinners. But when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, or I, or anyone else, except Jesus, we have the power to keep all the commandments of the Lord, because it's God in us that is more powerful than our weak flesh. He takes our flesh and causes it to be subdued or mortified by the tremendous, powerful Spirit of Almighty God, Christ in us with His Father by the Spirit, and gives us the ability to be more than conquerors over sin, Satan, the world, our flesh, and everything that we do. And if we read the Word of God, that's clear direction, and very, I might add that it's if you have, you read in the Word that you need prophets, pastors, evangelists, and preachers and teachers to teach you the Word. If you'll submit yourself to the Word of God that tells you these things. Now, we don't need anyone to teach us any other doctrine than that, because the doctrine is, itself tells us that we need prophets, preachers, teachers, evangelists, and so on, and helpers to help us in our journey to maturity in the Lord. Now, when you're just babes, that's wonderful, but we must grow. And today we're going to be talking about the four different kinds of people. There are those that are sown on shallow ground, and those are people that are unresponsive to the gospel. They just don't really respond to it. They just think it's foolishness. And the Bible says that the gospel, the saving power of the Word of God, which is the seed of God, is the power that we receive. When we receive the gospel, then we have power. And then there's the number two kind of person, is the impulsive Christian that, oh gosh, this is wonderful that we get by faith, we can have salvation, we can have healing, prosperity, life, and life more abundantly, life eternal, and we can learn all the things of God, and we can have Him guide us in our everyday life. But these impulsive people receive it, but because of the fact that they're sown on stony ground, they're not capable of the root doesn't go down deep, it hits the rock, and they're so impulsive. They immediately grab it with joy, and then they are also impulsive to just leave the gospel because of some kind of persecution, or somebody says something to them in the church that offends them. And the Lord says that you shouldn't get offended by things that the Lord God is telling the people that are trying to help you, because the prophet, the pastor, the preacher, the teacher, and those that help, the evangelists and so on, they're just telling you things that God is telling them. And this is what causes your soul, if you receive it, if you're not unresponsive, but if you respond to the gospel, the good news, the seed, the Word of God, and that if you're not impulsive, well, then you'll go on to more maturity. Then we have a third kind of person, which are those that are preoccupied with so many different things in this world, like Martha in the Bible. Well, you know, there's people that are preoccupied with television, with radio, with sports, basketball, football, baseball, ping pong. There are hundreds of millions of things that people can preoccupy themselves with. Cooking. The Bible tells that people would be involved, that sports would be exalted just before Christ comes back to earth again. And you hear people in these football games, basketball games, and baseball games just shouting to the stars, and no one thinks anything about that. They sound crazy to me, but they think it's crazy when we are in a service and we praise and thank the Lord. But I mean, what profit is there to praise a bunch of people that are just people? Because there isn't anything that people can do for you so far as entering into the kingdom of heaven, with the exception of those that God has called to preach the gospel to you and teach the gospel to you and counsel you on your way to maturity in the Lord. Okay? And so then there's a fourth class of people that are those that respond to the gospel and receive it, and they are, the Bible calls them those that are sowed, the seed that is sown, or the gospel that is sown, or the word of God that is sown in good ground. So we pray that you will receive, that you'll be good ground and be responsive, not impulsive, and not preoccupied with the gospel, that you'll get yourself into this church and just take up the cross and forget about your flesh, your mousy flesh, your weak flesh, and be ruled and disciplined by the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't happen. We have to discipline ourselves, be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. I hope you understand that. And because that is the actual truth that the Lord wants to enter into your ears and deep down into your heart, into your soul, and every fiber of your being today, this evening, whenever you're listening to this tape. So anyway, do we have another letter?
Yes.
Okay. We might not even have time to read these letters if the Lord keeps pouring out His Spirit upon me in the manner that He is. Okay, but go ahead.
From Kampala, Uganda, East Africa. Dear man of God, Pastor Olamo, on behalf of my brothers and sisters in Christ at our prayer group, I greet you and all the people helping you to spread this wonderful ministry of our King and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I told you in my last email, we are a Bible study group that meets thrice each week, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday evenings, to study the Word of God. Since we received the book entitled The Messiah, we have ever since made it the center of our discussions on each day of our meeting. I praise the Lord that the group has enjoyed the teachings from the book, and we have worked peacefully together to win more souls. I am glad to report that within the past 3 months, our number has increased from 23 to 44 members, which is a true hand of God at work. We thank you again for the world newsletters you have sent us. We received them December 22nd. We are glad to be part of such a worldwide, soul-touching ministry. The testimonies, prayer requests, answered prayers, and to know what the Lord is simply doing to people all over the world has given our new converts a great hope. God bless your ministry. Problem statement. Uganda is a poor country. Because of disease, HIV, AIDS, poverty, unemployment, it is quite hard to sustain a church full of desperate people, widows, and orphans. These people need material as much as spiritual support. The group, therefore, is at danger if nothing is done.
Right. If they respond to the gospel, as the Bible tells us, the Word of God, the good news, the seed, the Word of God tells us that we'll be saved and we can be, we are already healed. And so that's all these people need is Jesus, the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Because you're saved and healed and given prosperity by receiving what the Lord says and being totally responsive to Him and not at all unresponsive or impulsively just grabbing out and then seeing something next year or having somebody persecute you or say some ill words to you. There's always somebody in the church that's going to be offensive if you're not living in the will of the Lord. And the will of the Lord is that we're with Him in heavenly places. That means we're at rest with Him. We must have the vision of Christ sitting in heavenly places and that we're sitting there with Him because we're in the spiritual realm now and our spirit is linked to His powerful spirit in heaven. And so therefore, if we stay with Him in His rest or Sabbath, then we keep the vision. We must keep the vision because without the vision, keeping the vision of what the Lord has planned for us, to do, and we know from the Word that He has planned to live in us and work through us and for us to stay in Sabbath or rest with Him so that we don't fall away. And there really isn't anything else that's important in the world. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. And that's impossible unless we stay in the Word, the good seed, the gospel, into God Himself. And then we're able to do all things in Christ Jesus, in Him, that is, and we're able to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. There isn't anything that can defeat us. They may kill our bodies, but our souls will be instantly in the kingdom of heaven, and that's exactly what we're all living for anyway. As I know, it's so gratifying also to know that my family, my dearly beloved mother and my brother, Danny, who just went on to be with the Lord, that they're both there in heaven and with each other now for eternity. And the Bible says that if you get saved, when we get saved, that even our loved ones have an opportunity to get saved. That doesn't mean that they're going to stay saved, but if they continue to the end, they will be saved, as the Bible says. And don't think for one minute that people don't fall away. The Lord says those that fall away are like dogs that go back to their vomit, or sows to their wallowing in the mire. And the Bible also tells us if we've tasted the good word of the Lord and tasted the Spirit and all the heavenly things from the good word of God, and then we fall away, that there remains no more forgiveness for us, no more salvation, because the Lord died once. And He says, behold, I was dead. And a lot of people have Christ, you know, the different cults have Him still on the cross. But He came off the cross, and on the third day He rose from the dead. He rose out of hell, from death, hell, and the grave, and He ascended 40 days later into the kingdom of heaven in view of over 500 people in a cloud. And, you know, the Lord is powerful. And when we look at the order of the universe, which is soon going out of order because the Lord sees all of the world out of order, so He's very uptight at that. And so what He's going to do is cause the entire universe to go out of order. The stars are going to start falling. There's going to be a big meteorite that's going to be so powerful that it's going to destroy hundreds of millions of people. One-third of the Earth population is going to be killed. And the animals that are on Earth are going to kill one-fourth of the people on Earth. It states that in the Word of God. And we see that animals are very contaminated now, such as the cows and even the bird flu and the different sea life. They're contaminating people by eating so much of these animals. And by getting too close to them, they're going to die from all kinds of different diseases. That's why I don't have dogs or cats in my house. And I think that people that do that, that love dogs and cats more, or any animals more than they love human beings and the human soul, there's something radically wrong with them. Because the Lord didn't die for them. He died that we humans, we're not animals, that we humans, because we're in the image and likeness of the Lord, and animals and fish and birds are not, okay? So how could you be more benevolent to something that is not in the likeness and image of God? You're out of order. You're out of kilt. And so you need to get on the right track. I know there's all kinds of animal lovers, and I love animals in their place, though. Dogs, there's good things that they're for hunting, maybe, and for watchdogs and things like that, but they're not to be in the house with you. Every time I go into a house with people that have dogs and cats in the house, I can't hardly stand it, because the house stinks like a kennel. And I don't want to live with the dogs, okay, or the cats or the birds or anything else like that. Why? Because the Lord says that one-fourth of the population of the world is going to be killed by them. whether you eat them or smell them or are associated with them or bitten by them, with rabies. We recently saw a picture of a boa constrictor that had swallowed up a United Nations worker just with one swoop, and then it showed the stomach cut open, and here you could see the leg sticking out of the stomach of the boa constrictor, and that man was definitely glazed with gray color, and he was dead as a doornail. That would teach people, you know, like if you're in the jungle or something like that, to carry at least a little jackknife or something so you could, you know, maybe cut your way through in case you get swallowed by one of them. Okay, now the rest of the letter.
Due to competition from well-established churches, the newly converted people may easily be influenced. Also, the number increases, space becomes limited. Prayer request. Pray with us that this group of new converts from different backgrounds, Muslims, Catholics, and pagans, grow strong spiritually into one God-fearing group despite their diverse backgrounds.
We will certainly send you all the literature that I've written and the tapes or CDs, whatever you prefer, and we'll get you the different things that you have need of. Bibles, we've got those for you. Just contact us for sure, and we're backing you up. You're part of our ministry now. Go ahead.
Pray with us that we are able to cope with these difficult situations in Uganda of poverty, disease, and hopelessness, and we break through into a church. Our needs.
Well, you're not hopeless now. No matter whether you have all these problems, we all have to go through fire. I don't think that you're the only one that's suffering in this world. The Lord causes the rain and the sunshine to fall on the just and the unjust. We've gone through some fire, and we've been on the mountaintops, and we've been down in the valley. So far down in the valley, a person had a vision of it in our church of Sue and myself going so far down into this canyon, and they tried to follow us, but they couldn't. Because I guess they have since fallen away, the ones that had that vision, because they were not sown. They didn't have the good ground. They didn't receive the gospel. They were impulsive, and they received it for a while, and then they impulsively just left. And therefore, they're unresponsive anymore, and they're preoccupied themselves with other things in this world. And now the gospel is saying, well, you know, we knew it before, and we studied for a few months or years, and then we've gone. But they saw in a vision, Sue and myself, going clear down into this canyon to the point we looked like two little dots down there. And at that time, they impulsively were so full of joy and everything, they said that they wanted to go down in the canyon to be with us, but they said it was so steep and rocky and full of crags that they just couldn't get down. They couldn't even go a few feet. And so they're gone now, and we're still here, okay? And we've gone through a lot of persecution, and I just rejoice in it because I know that the people, the prophets before me, and the people in this church that are part of this ministry and are this prophetic ministry, they have gone through the fire and they've stayed right with us. The Lord does, he says he's doing a shaking right now. He's shaking the whole Christian realm so that those that are unshakable just remain. The rest will fall away. I remember Susie standing up in the pulpit and telling the people in the congregation that at least 3/4 of you people will fall away when a large persecution comes. And they did. Of course, we've built up again now. And I'm sure there'll be persecutions because all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution and trials and tribulations and everything. But we need to be able to, we need to rejoice when we're able to go through these trials and tribulations and persecutions, because it proves to us that the power of God is alive in us and working. And I just get a kick out of it. I get no kick from champagne. Mere alcohol doesn't get me at all. But I get a kick out of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I get a kick out of that power of God that's in me that causes me to stand. Amen.
Amen.
I don't get a kick out of anything else in this world except that I have the power within me to be able to come against Satan and push him back. And there isn't anything he can do or say to me that can discourage me. That's what I get a kick out of. And I pray that after this service today that you'll get a kick out of the same thing I do. Because, you know, to me that's real high kick. Okay. All right, then what?
Most of our members have no personal Bibles, as they have just known the value of the Bible. This means that they cannot read scriptures outside the prayer meetings. We need a bigger space to contain the growing number of converts and consequently form a church. We need to get the right...
So the church is already formed, brother. You just need to pray to the Lord and stay in there and have confidence and don't lose hope. And God will, you know, we were the same way. Our first church was in a narcotic dope den over on Carlos Avenue in Hollywood. And then... people were standing outside the door listening to us. And then we prayed and God opened the door over on Crescent Heights in West Hollywood. There were movie stars that lived on both sides of us. We were in a big mansion then. And we were persecuted. The cops would raid us. West Hollywood Sheriff Department would raid us every night. They'd come in and do things to the brothers, and they even one time threw a smoke bomb down into the prayer room. It was like no other escape out of there. And so we've been through some fire, and a lot of it. But because of the fact that we were Sabbathing in the Lord, resting in Him, we just look at it from God's, the Lord Jesus Christ's vantage point in heaven, and just say, this is all going to be over with one of these days, and then we're going to be happy and praise God that we were able to endure hardness like good soldiers so that we could spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then keep going with this letter.
We need to get the right name for the church to be from you, since we would like to be Alamo Ministry Associates in Uganda. We kindly request you to select from the names below which the group suggested: Alamo Christian Fellowship Church, Alamo Christian Ministry Church, Alamo Center of Faith Church, Alamo Community Church.
All right. Now, when I went through this city in Texas, and that was Alamo, Texas.
San Antonio.
Yeah, San Antonio. That means Saint Anthony. My name is Anthony, so I guess that I wanted to buy the Alamo over there. Everything was called Alamo. There was Alamo churches and everything. So the Lord told me specifically, don't just call it the Alamo Church. Call it Tony Alamo Christian Ministries or Tony Alamo Church. Because there's some people that are heretics, maybe some of the people that have Alamo churches, are really not of the Lord. They might be heretics or be preaching false doctrine. So he said, do that. And a lot of people, the Lord was telling me, and people come in and say, some of our people distributing literature on the street say, is he still alive? Is Tony Alamo still alive? They say, yes, as a matter of fact, he's putting out more gospel today than he ever has. And so the Lord told me, go ahead and put Tony Alamo Christian Ministries and put them on T-shirts, put that on T-shirts and sweatshirts to let people know that you're alive and still ministering the gospel, so that people won't get discouraged and that they won't think that the government, the world government, was able to put you down. Because you had a lot of property that they took away from you, and then they put you in prison on false charges, and here all of a sudden you're out, and now you've got you've arranged so that the people in the church have more property than what they had before. And you've gotten some wisdom out of it to not put anything in the church's name. We fly under that banner, Tony Alamo Christian Ministries or Church, but we, the people in the church won't put anything, any property under that name. They keep it in their names so that the government would be harder, or the government won't be able to take it away from them, because the government, the Antichrist government headed by Rome, the Catholic organization over there, and the media, they hate born-again fundamentalists. They say that we're the cause for peace to go away, but in fact, we are preaching the Prince of Peace and causing people to have peace in their hearts and minds and souls, and we don't use carnal weapons like the people that say that we're the cult. The cult in Rome is the one that's in charge of all this bombing and all the other different countries, and they're the most dangerous cult in the world. And they call everybody else that believes in the gospel a cult or dangerous, and they say that we're the ones that are causing unrest and unpeacefulness in the world. But they're the ones that are they have created every war. The Lord in the Bible says that they are the mother or the conjure up of every major sin in the world. They don't think anything about dropping bombs on innocent people, and look at what they did at the World Trade Center. Everybody now, or most of the people that I know and believe and know for sure that it was an inside job. Mr. Peeler, who was with the FBI and the BATF and some of the other federal organizations, stated that it was definitely an inside job, and that there were FBI people and people that worked with the FBI to sabotage those buildings and to have bombs laced throughout them so that they would pancake down after those planes hit them. Then we found out that those were not actual planes, they were rockets, because the wingspan on them wasn't that of the kind of plane they said they were, and they were rockets and they were remote controlled. So I mean, there's every form of deceivableness, as the Bible says that Satan would be in these last days, to deceive the entire world. People really believe that this was the Iranians or the Iraqis, you know, and it was an inside job. These things couldn't have happened unless it was an inside job. And many of the different officials in government are enemies. They are aliens. They're not taking orders from the President of the United States. The President of the United States has taken orders, according to the Word of God, from Rome. And he doesn't make any bones about it. He says he'll do anything the Pope tells him to do. And the Pope is a very powerful political man. He's very slick. Satan is slick. And this man is possessed by Satan. And anyone that follows him is willingly, knowingly, and wantonly doing the things that Satan commands them to do. And then that's the corporate body of Antichrist. Even back when the Apostle John was alive and Paul, they said there are many Antichrists even today. So we see that it's a corporate body, the Bible tells us, and we see also that it's fallen away Christians. Because they were with us, but obviously they left us. And they went and became part of Antichrist. If they were of us, if they were of the Lord, they obviously would have stayed with us. But they're not. And you see them bringing all kinds of false accusations and aiding and abetting Antichrist. World government, cult is the head of world government and in Rome. And also the voice of Satan, which is many of the medias. Now, there are different medias, but most of the medias, major medias, are the voice of Satan. All right, let's finish this letter. So, the Lord gave me the name in this country is Tony Alamo Christian Ministries or Tony Alamo Christian Church. So you can use either one of those, or if you... That way, it would you'll know, everybody will know that it's the same. Okay, then what?
We will be grateful to receive from you the following: more literature, 30 Bibles for the group, and the name from the list above or your own that you would like us to use for your ministry in Uganda. May God bless you in your work for Him, and may you pray for us that we may succeed in this task to serve the Lord in Uganda under your great soul-winning ministry. Yours faithfully, Pastor Thomas, from Kampala, Uganda, East Africa.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's begin now with part six of Here I Am, a piece of literature Lord gave me, I think it was in 2001. All right, go ahead.
How many people in the world today have God living and working in them through the Holy Spirit? And how many people are allowing Him to dispense Himself through them to the lost sinners of the world? Hardly any. Why will they not allow God to lead them directly by the Holy Spirit? The Bible tells us why. It is because they are the last day. It is because these are the last days, and men are, quote, lovers of themselves, unquote, rather than lovers of God. They love sinning. They love the self-life, the worldly life. They please their flesh rather than please God.
Right, these are the preoccupied people, those that are sown among thorns. The things of this world are the thorns, all right? We have a family in the church that's called Don Thorne and his wife. We're not talking about you, Don, or your lovely wife and children. Okay, then what?
Also, they love their own ideas, thoughts, and desires, their own madness, more than wisdom, the high intelligence of God, and more than the direct leading of their spirits by His Holy Spirit. God is the one who created heaven, earth, all of us, and everything else. Man did not create these things. God's wisdom is higher, mightier, and more powerful than all the combined wisdom of every man who has ever lived on the face of this earth. His wisdom and power is so incredible that it cannot be measured. God states, quote, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts," unquote. Quote, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men," unquote. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, and Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9. This means God is wiser and stronger than all men put together, past, present, and future. God, quote, "taketh the wise in their own craftiness," unquote, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. God states that man's, quote, "thoughts are vain," unquote, because they have not one shred of the necessary substance to enter eternity correctly, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20. They are like, quote, "thieves and robbers," unquote, because they attempt to enter heaven other ways than the only way God has provided for them to enter heaven. Again, not to have God's direct leadership to guide us every moment is the most dangerous, perilous thing in the world. The devil, our flesh, and the world cannot be dangerous to any of us who are led directly throughout each day by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, those of us that are not preoccupied with the things of this world, that are wandering through all these thorny things in the world, we are like living in bliss because of the Spirit, because we're at rest. We have the vision of the Lord to just stay in Him and He in us. Okay, then what?
The New World Order is not dangerous to any of us who are led directly throughout each day by the Holy Spirit. The One World Government is not dangerous to any of us who are led directly throughout each day by the Holy Spirit. NATO is not dangerous to those of us who are led directly throughout each day by the Holy Spirit. The terrorists, guns, bullets, and bombs are not dangerous to those of us who are led directly every moment of every day by the Holy Spirit.
No, you know who was dangerous to us is ourselves. If you want to take a look at Satan, look at yourself in the mirror, because the Bible says you're flesh. But if you stay in the Spirit, then you're not dangerous to yourself. But you've got to get out of your flesh. You must die out to the things that you love of this world, love the things you love, because all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and the Lord doesn't want us to be involved with these things. Go ahead.
There is never any need for us to fear, because when we who are led directly by the Holy Spirit die, we will immediately be in heaven for eternity. The danger or peril to all those who are not directly led by the Holy Spirit is in themselves. When they die, they will immediately be in hell for eternity. This is why not being led directly by the Holy Spirit is so dangerous, so perilous. This is the exact condition of almost the entire world. Almost the entire world is living too dangerously for words. God tells it this way, quote, "This know also, that in the last days perilous, dangerous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away," unquote. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. God commands His children to turn away from those who live dangerously and perilously. In other words, God's children are to not have anything to do with those who are not even at all concerned about their souls entering heaven, those who don't care at all that they could die any moment and spend an eternity in hell, which is forever.
Now, again, those are the unresponsive ones, the preoccupied ones. For them, what? They don't respond to the gospel. They're dead. Dead to spiritual matters. Dead to God. But alive to this world, which is soon going to burn and pass away with all those in it that are of the world. I thank God I'm not of the world. I'm of the world to come. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of heaven. Then what?
The only exception to this is when the direct leading of the Spirit tells us to witness to these people's souls with the reproof and rebuke from the Word of God. Most churches today have a form of godliness, but most of them are not directly led by God's Holy Spirit. Therefore, they are denying the power of God. They refuse to allow God's Spirit to govern every move they make, or for that matter, any of their movements. They don't even think of doing such a thing. God declares, quote, "the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done," unquote, Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. God knew that men would be lovers of their own selves and of pleasures more than lovers of God in these last days. That's why He foretells it through the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Other perils or dangers which are in the world today, mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 3, are that the people of the world are heady and high-minded, which means they are full of violence and are passionately carnal in every way. They are headstrong against walking in God's Spirit, which shall hurt them eternally, but not hurt God at all. They are haughty and arrogant against God, which is perilous to their eternal souls. How foolish, how dangerous, how perilous. Another great peril or danger for the people of the world is that they live their lives as though they're never going to die or even have to stand judgment for their reckless, careless, obnoxious, filthy, and utterly stupid lifestyles.
That's the unresponsive again to the gospel. The under, not responsive. Dead. They don't receive anything from the Lord. Then what?
The world says, quote, "I am going to live till I die," unquote. But how can that be living if they're going to hell for eternity after they die? Eternity is for a long time. Eternity is forever. God tells us that everyone who's not saved is spiritually, quote, "dead in their trespasses and sins," unquote, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. If you are an unrepentant sinner, you're not living. According to God, you are dead. The message I preach from the Bible about life seems like death to those who will spend eternity in hell. The message the world teaches, which is to, quote, "live dangerously till you die," unquote, is the message of death. The things I am telling you all pertain to life more abundant both here on earth and in eternity. Why does abundant life here and eternal life frighten you so much that you refuse to receive it? It is because the spirit of the devil that is in you doesn't want to leave you or leave the life of sin that he is living in and through you. It is the devil in you that is afraid of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is because when you receive the truth the Lord is preaching to you, the truth will set you free from the devil and propel you into the beautiful heavenly spiritual realm of God for your prosperity both here and throughout eternity. Don't let Satan talk you out of it. Why do you think there is so much hatred in the world towards those of us who carry the message of life more abundant here on earth and eternal life? It is because the demonic worldly realm doesn't want to lose you. Satan wants you to be cast into hell with him and the rest of his followers. He has no love for your soul, your spirit, or your body. If he did, he wouldn't be fighting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and those who preach it as he does. This message from God's word is the only message that can save your eternal soul. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 states, quote, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe," unquote. If you are fighting the triune God living in those of us who are born of the Spirit Christians, you will eternally curse yourself and hate yourself for having done it when you are in hell weeping, gnashing your teeth, and chewing your tongue for pain. If you love your family, friends, and other people, and if you care about where they are going to spend eternity, then receive eternal life into your spirit by receiving God in Jesus by the Holy Spirit into you as your Lord and Savior now. Remember, nothing is more important than for the people of the world to become Christians and to immediately be led directly by the Holy Spirit and to continue being led directly by the Holy Spirit. Nothing is more dangerous than to be without the Lord's Spirit directing you every second of every day, because we humans are frail and fragile. We are here today, but could very well be standing before God later on today. No one but God knows when or where we will die unless we or someone else schedules the moment of our death. We humans are subject to meeting our Maker at any time. So to avoid a horrible, hideous hell full of torments and anguish, it is important and necessary for you to surrender your life to Him now, then be led directly by the Holy Spirit throughout each and every day until you die. There isn't any time to waste. Don't put it off any longer. Ask Jesus to enter your spirit now and begin walking directly by the Holy Spirit before it's too late. Begin being led directly by the Holy Spirit by saying this prayer.
Okay, and here's the prayer. And if you're driving your automobile or whatever you're doing, turn the television off or turn whatever that you're doing off. Turn the stove off, because whatever's on that stove or in the oven is not as nearly as important. It has no importance whatsoever when it comes to what is compared to eternal life and to stay out of hell in the lake of fire. So you can sit down. You don't have to kneel. But just say this to God and mean it with all of your heart, this prayer. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you will turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me. Therefore, I know that I'm saved. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So therefore I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. I see that our time is up again. And we finished this piece of literature, Here I Am, and we're going to have another piece of literature that the Lord has given me tomorrow, God willing. And so until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo telling you to, with me, praise and thank the Lord with all your heart and soul. And God bless you. Amen.